Turn to Genesis chapter 29, and we'll continue there. Let's see, it's been a while. Jacob's left home, headed to his relatives to basically find a wife. He's been sent on this journey for that specific thing. We got started in chapter 29. Jacob arrives in the correct area, Haran, where he's supposed to be. He sees flocks there. I don't know if he's looking at me or looking at something else. Okay, never mind. He talks to the individuals there, these young men that have brought their flocks there to water them at the well. He says to them, verse 4, Jacob says unto them, "My brethren, whence be ye?" And they said, "Of Haran." So there's answer number one that he's looking for. Haran is where he's headed. He's hoping he's in the right place. These young men are gathered around with their flocks, waiting to water them. That's a good answer. He said unto them, "Know ye Laban, the son of Nahor?" So this is obviously who he's looking for. This is his uncle. He's looking for his relatives. They said, "Yes, we know him." And as a matter of fact, his daughter Rachel, verse 6, "He is well, and his daughter Rachel cometh with the sheep." So she's bringing the sheep to water them, and everything's working out good for Jacob so far. God has directed him, brought him safely to the place he's supposed to be, got him connected with somebody. Yes, your relatives are here. They're doing well. As a matter of fact, here comes one of his daughters now with sheep. And you got to be imagining, you know, Jacob's made this long trip, and he's found himself the right place. And what's his purpose for this whole trip?
To find
a wife. Okay. So one of the possibilities is who? Rachel, who's coming along, right? So obviously he's anticipating. Here's one of the possibilities. I know she's related to my relatives, so there, that checks this box off here. Here she comes, or she'll be coming. It's interesting. So he says to these individuals, probably young boys with the flocks there, he says, "Lo," he says, "it's high day." In other words, it's the middle of the day, or afternoon of the day. "Neither is it time that the cattle should be gathered together. Water ye the sheep and go and feed them." So he says to them, "Why don't you water your sheep?" Read into this what he's saying. "Why don't you water your sheep and what?
Get out of here."
Why does he want them to leave? Rachel's coming, and he wants to see Rachel, and he'd rather do that on his own in private, right? I mean, first meeting, you'd rather have that without all these individuals around. So he says to him, "Why don't you feed your sheep or water your sheep and go feed them? Scram out of here." And they said, verse 8, "We cannot until all the flocks be gathered together, until they roll the stone from the well's mouth, and then we water the sheep." So this is the process that we do around here. Once the sheep are all gathered and all the flocks are here, then we roll the stone away. Now, it could be that's just the way they did things. It could be maybe the stone was too heavy for one of these young boys, or two of them, to roll it away. So it took several of them. So once they all gathered there, then they'd water their flocks. So they explained to him why they're hanging around. He doesn't want them to hang around, but why they're hanging around. Maybe he's thinking, "Look, you guys are lazy. You've been sitting around here the whole time. Why don't you water your sheep and scram?" But that's not how it worked. Verse 9, "And while he yet spake with them, Rachel came and her father's sheep, for she kept them," or she was the shepherdess is what it means. And it came to pass when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near and rolled a stone from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban, his mother's brother. Do you understand who this is? I mean, it says it enough times here. So what happens? Rachel shows up, he sees Rachel, and he runs over and he moves the stone all by himself. He said, forget this, I'll move the stone and water her sheep. Now, is he showing off? I don't know. Is he just concerned? Does he want to take care of her sheep? For whatever reason, he decides he's going to go change the rules, and I'm moving the well, and I'm going to help water her sheep. Maybe he's just happy to be there. I don't know. But at any rate, he doesn't wait for there may be other flocks coming. He goes and rolls the stone away on his own from the well's mouth and watered the flock of Laban's, his mother's brother's sheep. Verse 11. Oh my goodness, Jacob, come on, control yourself. It says, and Jacob kissed Rachel. Whoa!
He was on the cheek.
Well, let's read the rest of the verse. And lifted up his voice and wept. Now, here's an interesting verse. He's excited to be there. He's excited to see Rachel. More than likely, this is a kiss of greeting, not a romantic kiss. Even so, that is usually among close friends and or relatives. But he understands that she's a relative. She doesn't understand yet what's going on. He hasn't even introduced himself yet. All she knows is he rolled the stone away and has helped water her sheep. And he says he lifted up his voice and wept. Interesting here. What do you think he's weeping about?
I think he's overcome with emotion. The fact that everything has worked out the way it has. I can relate to this.
Yeah.
I don't fault him for weeping.
Yeah. No, I don't either. I would assume the same thing. God has worked out all these details, and not to mention he's seen Rachel, and we know the description that we give or given later that Rachel's beautiful. So everything seems to be working out. He's shown up. He knows that she's a possible wife for him. He sees Rachel. She's beautiful. Look on, so he doesn't have to worry about that.
Right.
Right, yeah, he doesn't know what he's going to come across when he gets...
And finds out here's a cousin.
Yeah, and more than likely, lifting up his voice, praising the Lord for God's provision at this point in time. He's overcome with emotion, is basically what's taken place here, how God has provided for him. So finally, he gets himself all gathered together and under control here, and he says to Rachel, verse 12, that he was his father or her father's brother, and that he was Rebekah's son, and she ran and told her father. So finally he introduces himself. She finally realizes, okay, now I know who you are. She runs to tell her father what's going on. Why do you think she's running to tell her father? Yeah, to get away from this guy that's kissing me. How often do you think they get news from their relatives that are... Yeah. Probably hardly ever, right? So she's excited. She wants to tell her father that, hey, my cousin, your nephew, is here. We haven't gotten news for so long. So she goes to tell her father. Verse 13, and it came to pass when Laban heard the tidings of Jacob, his sister's son, that he ran to meet him and embraced him and kissed him. Okay, again, kiss of greeting. This is among relatives, close friends. Some people still do this today. I had a guy I used to work with, a good friend, he's Sicilian, not Italian. They get a little picky about saying one or the other. Anyhow, he used to have a family gathering every year, and he invited me up to his house a couple of years in a row, and that's their greeting among family. Is I was standing there talking to Chris, and his son come up, and they smacked each other on the lips, and I was thinking, well, that's kind of different, but everybody in the family, that's how they greeted. That's how they greeted here. Maybe it was a kiss on the cheek and not on the lips. It doesn't matter. It's a kiss of greeting. It's like giving them a hug or shaking your hand. It's a greeting. And Laban is anxious to hear the news, anxious to meet this individual that's a relative that I haven't seen ever. And obviously, he's got some news, and I can learn about my relatives. So Laban runs to meet him as well. He embraces him, gives him a hug, gives him a kiss, and brought him to his house. And he told Laban all these things. So Laban's anxious to hear what's going on. Why are you here? What's happening? And Jacob sits down and tells him everything that's going on. So it's like getting a letter from a long-lost relative, except it's somebody's actually delivering it. You know, it's more personal. So you can see the excitement that's involved there with him showing up and telling Laban what's going on. And he's found his way there. He's found himself to the right place. And he gets to share with Laban what's going on. It's interesting there. Did you read the last sentence in that verse? And he abode with him the space of a month. So there, he's just there. They're sharing news back and forth. He lives with Laban for a month. Sometimes we think about, well, okay, this verse says this, and the next thing that happened, it must have been the next day, and the next thing that happened must have been the next day. Sometimes a period of time passes. So he's there with him for a month, which is interesting as we move on. We'll talk about that in a minute. And Laban said unto Jacob, because thou art my brother, shouldest thou therefore serve me for naught? So what's Laban saying to Jacob? Well, okay, read into the verse. What has been going on during this month's time?
Jacob's been working.
Okay, Jacob has been working.
Helping his uncle.
Okay. This is what you might call a working farm. You know, they've got livestock, they've got crops, they've got things they got to do. They don't just take a month off and sit around and chew the fat, you know, for 8, 10, 12 hours a day. And, you know, they have things they got to do. So obviously, Jacob has been working with them, for them, helping them for this month's time. After a month, oh, by the way, do you think that Laban doesn't see what's going on between why Jacob's there? Sure, it's been a month. You know, he's not blind. He understands what's going on. So he says to him after a month's time, I should pay you. He says, you tell me what your wages shall be. And Laban had, and then we get this description, Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. So two daughters that are obviously unmarried at this point. Why they're unmarried, we don't know. But it doesn't tell us that. And then it gives us this short description. Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. So tender-eyed, what does tender-eyed mean? Not really sure. Some think that maybe Rachel had deeper, darker eyes than Leah's. Some think because it's tender-eyed, maybe she was tender-hearted. In other words, she was compassionate towards others. Yeah.
Weak, like maybe she had poor eyesight.
Yeah, could be.
Glasses.
Yeah, that's in mine too. And as I looked it up in Strong's Concordance, it didn't say anything about weak. You know, it's kind of what does that interpretation exactly mean? And then it says Rachel was beautiful. So obviously Rachel seems to be more, according to the description at least, maybe more beautiful to look upon. So he says, after we understand this little bit of information here, and Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve you 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. So Jacob says, I'll serve 7 years if you'll let me marry your daughter. Laban says, sure, it's better that she marries you, a relative, than I should give her to someone else. Abide with me. Stay here. Live with me. Sure, you can serve me for 7 years. That's a good deal for me. I'll go for that, is what he's saying. What exactly Laban's got in mind? Well, we see later kind of what goes on with Laban. But anyhow, so verse 20, and Jacob served 7 years for Rachel. Anybody ever been engaged? Well, you that have been married, were you engaged for 7 years? 7 years seems like a long time, right? I mean, you may have known each other for 7 years, but it seems like a long time, doesn't it? But what's it say here? It says, and they seemed unto him as a few days for the love that he had for her. In other words, Jacob was struck, and it didn't matter how long it took. It seemed like it was just a couple of days, and he was going to be married to the one he loved. I don't know how much time we got. And Jacob said to Laban, verse 21, so after the 7 years, Laban doesn't come to Jacob and say, okay, I've been keeping track. Your time's up. Time to get married. No, Jacob, of course, Jacob's probably got it right down to the very last minute, sounds like. You know, I've been here exactly 6 years, 11 months, 29 days, and 23 hours, and 58 minutes, and 2 minutes, my time's done. Who knows? I don't know. So he comes to Laban and says, okay, I've served my time. Let's get the show on the road. Let's get married. That's what I came here for. I've served my 7 years. So Laban says, Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. That's normal for a wedding ceremony. So he gathers everybody together, has a big feast. And it came to pass, verse 23, in the evening, that he, Laban, took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to him, and he went into her. And Laban gave unto his daughter Leah Zilpah. Interesting that it mentions the handmaid here, but we see later on that, oh, there's the buzzer. Something is important there. Think about this till next week. What all is going on here, and what's taking place?
Deceit.
And where is everybody, and how is everybody involved in this situation that's taking place? We know what goes on, but anyhow, Lord bless you this morning. You're dismissed.